If you folks will sit down, I'll introduce the speaker today. We are blessed to have a young man by the name of Saxton Green, who's going to preach for us today. He comes from the town of Kabul, which is just down the road from us. He's a first-year student at the college over in Joplin. And so, without further ado, the floor is yours.
How about now? Okay, there we are. We're good now. All right. Okay. Good morning, Mansfield Christian Church. How about now? My name is Saxton Green. I am 18 years old, and I'm currently enrolled as a freshman at Ozark Christian College. What I'm majoring in there, I'm majoring in student ministry. So I'll work with kids that are like fifth grade through college. That's what I would plan to do. And I was born and raised in Kabul, Missouri, just on down the road a little ways, and I've been there my whole life. And I was a member of Kabul Christian Church for as long as I can remember. My mom drug us all to the church every Sunday, and turned out that I got to be a big fan of it and got real close with God there, and now I'm preaching, so that's super cool. I have two older brothers, and older and bigger. Their names are Duncan and Gavin Green, and my amazing mother, her name is Tiffany Green, and then I have a great dad, and his name's Bill. Just a little bit about my church life growing up, though. My family's always been very involved in church, but no one in my family ever considered ministry as an option. So I made my decision to be in ministry at an amazing place, like the most life-changing place that I've ever been. It's called Rock Garden Christian Camp down close to Pomona. I love the place. It's so great. And that's where I dedicated my life to this ministry. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but it was definitely worth it in the end. So I'm going to pray real quick this morning, and then we'll get on into it. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for everybody that you put on my path, that I can just tell them about you, and show them the love that you've given me. I pray that you just speak into our lives this morning, and let us take something from your word that we can apply to our own lives and bring out there, and just start a light in everybody's heart this morning, and let it grow. And I thank you for your son and his sacrifice. And I pray this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. All right. So let's get started, okay? Three words I want you guys to think about this morning. All right, you ready? Everybody paying attention? Because I need your full and undivided attention for this. Ready? Love each other. Love each other. What do you think of when you hear those words? Well, I'll tell you what I think of. I think of my mom forcing me and one of my older brothers to hug it out or apologize to each other or something along those lines. When really what's going on is I'm waiting for mom to walk out of the room so I can punch him in the gut, run away until he catches me and chokes me out or gives me a wedgie or does that thing that an older sibling does where they just get spontaneous with the torture. And they put the younger sibling through all that. They just let their imagination run, and people like me, being the youngest, can't do a thing about it. Is there any babies in the family out there? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she feel my pain then. So, with that being said, though, I deserved all the punches that I got. Because, really, at the end of the day, I was the younger sibling, and I had a job to do, okay? And that was to annoy until I got what I thought was attention. But the word attention to my brothers got warped into pummel me, which is not fun. With all the fighting and the crying and the anger toward each other, though, my brothers and I have a bond that can never be broken. Like, my brother Duncan, he told me, he said, Saxton, I love you, and I'd take a bullet for you, but you're not my friend. Because when dad comes in with the leather contraption of death that you guys call a belt, and asks, who was it? We all point a finger at ourselves and we say it was us, or it was me. And that was a dumb idea, because then all of us got the belt. But that's beside the point. We all stuck up for each other. That's what matters. And we love each other. No matter how much we fight and argue, we love each other. Now, in the text we're reading today, Jesus compares himself to a vine. And that's in John 15, if you guys want to open your Bibles and turn to John 15. Jesus compares himself to a vine. The vine, actually. And he tells us to love each other a couple of times in this short passage. Which, in the Bible, if it's repeated, it's important, right? Yeah. So let's say for you, it's easy to love the people closest to you in your life. Your family, your mom, your dad, your kids, your spouse. Your family's easy to love all the time, most of the time. But then you go to work, or school, for me, or a restaurant, or any different kind of public place where there, of course, are some friends and people that you can get along with, all right. But then there's that guy, right? That guy. Or that girl that just rubs you the wrong way and always has to say something to be better than everyone else. Oh, but that person's easy to love, right? No, that person's not easy to love. Honestly, my mom, if she was here, she'd be like, Saxton, you're that guy, like, for real. And yes, I can definitely be that guy sometimes, but when we give Jesus the room to help us grow and be the branches that bear good fruit, we can look at that guy and even show him the love. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In John 15, he goes and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch that can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I love the analogy here that Jesus uses about him being a vine and God being the gardener. It makes me think of a creation talk that we had in my Old Testament class at the beginning of the semester this year. We were talking about how when God was making the earth, he used so much precision and exactness to make sure that everything worked together perfectly in the world. And this really opened my eyes to the fact that God is a gardener. And he's helping to shape and grow us to make us bloom with love for him. I mean, I don't really know much about gardening, but what I do know is that I know people who do it. And what I've learned is that it takes extreme patience and lots and lots of time. I know that for me, myself, I don't have the patience for it because I can barely play a game of golf with my sanity still intact. But I'm not going to get into golf, because if I did, I'd just go on and you guys would not ever have me back again because I talk about it way too much. But patience is just a huge deal with gardening. So growing up, we had a neighbor, and our neighbor had a huge garden. I mean, huge. Well, this lady would always be outside working on her garden, and she spent so much time on it. And I didn't understand why. I mean, I get it. You want your yard to look pretty and all, but the amount of work is just outrageous, right? Now, when I was writing this sermon, all I was thinking about here is all the time and work God spends molding us to be who he wants us to be. And even when we finish growing, he's still working in us, shining down in our lives and filling us up with his love that we can spread it to one another. So Jesus gives this metaphor that he's the vine of a tree, God is the gardener. And then later in the text, we figured out that we're the branches, right? He goes on to talk about the difference between fruit-bearing branches and branches that bear no fruit, and how the good branches that bear fruit are pruned to bear more fruit. It's kind of like an illustration that I heard a few weeks ago. This guy filled cups up, okay? He filled cups up with water and would pour the water in one cup into another cup, a bigger cup, to represent how God pours his love into us so that we can pour our love into others, right? And he's kind of saying something similar here about the good branches bearing good fruit, like how the tree gets water from the branches. And the branches make fruit with the tree, or God in this case. The bad branches, however, are cut off and don't bear fruit. They are empty, right? And it's almost like there's a lid on the cup. Then Jesus tells us to remain in him, and that he will remain in us. Now, what is he getting at there? Well, in the next part, he says that no branch can bear fruit without the vine. So what he's saying there is that as long as we stay within his love, he will keep his love within us. So my first point for you guys today is learn to love God. When Jesus is explaining this analogy, he uses this word remain to describe how we need to be with him. But before we can remain in him, we have to find him and love him. So we have learned to love God. What do we do next with that? That brings us to our next point in verse 5. He goes on, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Without Jesus, we're nothing. We're worthless. Living without Jesus is pointless. There's no meaning at all. It would be like having arms that we can't use. So with that being said, this reminds me of a video on that's really famous. If you haven't seen it, I suggest looking it up because it's really funny. So there's this guy, and his name's Scott Sterling. And the setting of the video is it's a soccer game, and it's a soccer shootout. So that, if you don't know what that is, it's whenever the goalie goes one-on-one with somebody, and if they kick it in, they win the game. Well, there's one goalie in this game from Yale, who, it's funny because Yale doesn't have a soccer team. And this guy is, every time the ball gets kicked, he gets hit in the face, and it's super funny, like, because the crowd and it's a fake video, so that's why it's funny. The crowd and the announcers are just going crazy over this. So every time the ball gets kicked, he gets hit in the face, and he's trying to use his arms to stop the ball, but it just keeps coming through and hitting him right in the face. And his schnoz is just done for at the end of this video. All right, so it's happening over and over again. And by the end of the game, or by the end of it, he's just crawling away from the goal, trying to get away from it. And the guy kicks it. It hits the pole, and it bounces back and hits him in the face. And he's just done for. But he wins the game in the end, right? So he wins the game. You laugh, okay? And I laugh. But to get my point across, this is what life would be like without Jesus. It'd just be like taking a bunch of metaphorical soccer balls to the face. And we wouldn't be able to do anything about it. But the difference between us and Scott Sterling is without Jesus, we don't win the game. Without Jesus, there's no team, there's no worth, and there's no love, because he is love. And if we are not spreading his word to others, not only are we not loving each other, but we aren't loving him. But he tells us in verse 7, he says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And honestly, if we are in God's love, the only thing we really need to ask him is to keep us within his love, so that we can be disciples to make disciples for him. So that brings us to our second point, which is live in God's love. After we've learned to love God, we should convey the image of him in every action, in every opportunity that we get to. Then Jesus goes on with this analogy of the vine and branches and the gardener. In verse 9, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands, and he remains, and I remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Isn't it just satisfying and fulfilling to get rewarded for something you didn't really deserve? You didn't really have to work for. And we are so undeserving of his love, yet he just overflows our life with it, right? So something I've been involved with this semester is I serve on Wednesday nights at a small church in Carterville, Missouri. And I work with the young youth group, so like below fifth grade. And I love the kids. They're so good. They're K through fourth kids. And these kids are learning right now about two big things: God's grace and reconciliation. And all these kids are so fun and are learning so much from God. And it just kind of blows my mind, because honestly, what I've been blind to is how much these kids are reminding me about the stuff that most of us just kind of don't take the time to look at in the Bible. We are all so busy on focusing on the intellectual stuff that we can't always wrap our heads around, when really we're forgetting to go back to our roots in Christ and give some of our focus to strengthening the foundations we've built in our love for Christ. Because when we go back to those foundations, we realize that those are the things that God introduced himself to us in, right? And they are also the things we should be telling others and doing, like remembering that we are not worthy of God's grace at all. And we should turn our enemies into our friends by reconciling with them. And we are turning our enemies and not only friends, but brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We're doing exactly what God wants us to do if we're doing that. And that's our third point. We are to spread God's love. So if the amount of love God has for us is unimaginable, then we definitely have enough to go around, right? So we spread his love. In the last few verses of the passage, Jesus gives us a name. He calls us something, okay? I want you to pay attention. He calls us something he hasn't before. He continues in verse 13 with this: "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Did you hear that? Did you hear what he called us? The Son of God, the man who came down to save us from our sins, just called us friends. He loves us so much that he calls us friends. He says he chose us. He's saying we have a purpose, and that purpose is to spread God's love. Shout it from a mountain: God has made you for a reason, and he loves you so much, I bet you can't even imagine it. God's love is a beautiful, contagious cure for death. And that cure has a name, and his name is Jesus. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. We couldn't earn it, and we definitely don't deserve it. But still, he gave himself away. I challenge you this morning to love. Love with a mighty love that God has placed in your heart. Love not just because Jesus loved us, but because you love him more than anything else in this world. You want him to feel it. You want him to know that you will look death in the eye and point to life, you'll point to love, and you'll point to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that whenever hard times happen, whenever people upset us in life, and whenever people try to tear us down, and whenever Satan tries to get to us, that we'll always make the decision to point to you in everything that we do. And just make our life so much better by becoming your friend. Because you call us friends, and you love us, and we feel it. And I thank you so much for this wonderful place that you've placed on this earth. And like I said before, I ask that you just place a light in this church and help it to grow expansionally. And I thank you for your son and his sacrifice, that he came and died for us. And I pray all of this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Saxon, for a good message. We all need to learn to love, don't we? And like you said, there are a lot of people that are hard to love because of their attitude and the way they treat us. But God, even though we didn't deserve it, he loved us then and he still loves us now. We never know the minds and the hearts of those in the audience, so at this time it's customary that we have an invitation song. So the ladies will sing, and then I'll get up again and we'll take prayer requests and go from there. Let us stand, please. All our hope.
is Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, and Lord of all. Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all.
You may be seated, please. At this time, we'll take prayer requests. Anyone? How is Lena doing, Wanda? Okay. Dot?
Roy's test came back clean.
Wonderful. That's a praise. Thank God for that. My goodness. Debbie?
We don't want to forget Denise Frank. She's got a conscience. So we'll take part of
Okay. Anybody else? Lisa?
Jason has been having a lot of problems with kidney stones and a lot of pain.
I know about that because I've had them. She said her son is having problems with kidney stones, and that's really nasty. I've passed several of those, and I know how painful that is. Elizabeth?
Just traveling prayer for those people this weekend and throughout this week.
Okay. Anyone else? Is someone on for closing prayer, John? Okay, would you bow with me, please? Father, we thank you for a wonderful day of worship. We thank you for Saxton and the message he delivered. Help us to love each other. Help us to be connected to the vine. And we just ask, Lord, a blessing on each and every person as we leave here today. We ask a blessing on those who have been mentioned for prayer. And we know, Lord, that you have the healing powers. And we ask that you bless them. Help those who take care of them. And may they be a blessing to them. In Christ I pray. Amen.